know what has amazed me studying Revelation? In the midst of these terrible judgments, it shows the population of earth shaking its fist at God and blaspheming him instead of repenting. So you see that and you go, God is just to judge.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Live Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, John Sees Heaven. This is chapter 3 on the series called The End, Revelation Unfolds. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
One of the things I'm so thankful for regarding the amazing book of Revelation is what it reveals to us about heaven. The curtain is drawn back and we're allowed to peer into this amazing unseen world of angels, cherubim, seraphim, glory, and bliss. What also stands out is how what happens there precedes what happens here on earth. The unseen spiritual world the Revelation reveals is actually the starting point for events that will soon unfold in these last days. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part 2 of the message, John Sees Heaven.
The beauty of heaven, the eternity of heaven, and the victory and triumphal condition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only he can open the scroll. Now he's about to be shown the grim fact of the Great Tribulation. It occupies 14 of the 22 chapters of the book. The Great Tribulation has also been called the Day of the Lord in the Old Testament. It is the climactic hour in God's plan for the ages. The Great Tribulation also contains several sevens. It will last exactly 7 years. And during those 7 years, God will pour out 3 sets of judgments, each consisting of 7 parts. They are called the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets, and the 7 bowls, equaling 21 multiples of 7. We're going to see that during the Great Tribulation, Satan, under God's permissive hand, is allowed to bring his evil forces to the earth, with the restraining hand of God no longer withholding his efforts. That's what it's going to show us. The Apostle Paul predicted this very thing. Let me read it to you, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 6. Paul writes, "Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion." That means a falling away or an apostasy. "Against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction." Now he's going to describe the Antichrist. Listen, he will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. That's called the abomination that makes desolate. We get in that in a couple of weeks. "Don't you remember," Paul writes, "that I told you about all of this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, that is the Antichrist, for he can be revealed only when his time comes." So the Antichrist, Paul is informing us, and so does John, that the Antichrist cannot be manifested, cannot take control of the world like he will one day, until God removes his restraining hand. God restrains him. Someone said to me, "Jeff, do you think he's on the earth right now?" I don't know, but I think it's very possible. At this very moment, church, right now, it is God who is holding back the appearance of Antichrist and who is restraining a level of evil that we've never seen. He will not arrive on the scene until God's time allows it. Now, chapter 6 opens with the appearance of the well-known four horsemen of the apocalypse. These four horses represent 4 severe judgments that will be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. Now, remember that scroll? We got that scroll. Here it is. I wish I had one, but it's all rolled up. There's 7 seals. The first 4 seals of the 7 are the horsemen of the apocalypse. And those four will be broken first. That is what the Lamb will release first. And they will be severe. Now, I want to forewarn you, what we're about to read is very grim. You know, we think it's kind of cool, four horsemen, the apocalypse, and the mark of the beast, and 666, but really, it's really not cool at all. It's somber. It's difficult, because this is judgment. It's not a pretty picture, and we wish, when I read it, I wish it weren't true. But it is true. Now, before we dive into the four horsemen of the apocalypse, I want to remind you again that when God brings judgment, and he does, everybody knows that, right? If you know that, raise your hand. If you know he brings judgment. Because, you know, we're so ruined in America, in the West right now, by this sentimental, gooey, unrealistic ideal of love. That love will never judge, love will never discipline, love will tolerate anything and everything. And that's just baloney. That's not love. Our God is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment because he is a God of holiness, and he cannot allow sin to go unanswered in his universe. Let me remind you about that. When God brings judgment, it's always after lengthy calls to repentance mixed with warnings from his prophets. Remember, God gave the people of Noah's day 120 years to repent. Peter tells us that Noah preached that whole time. He preached for over a century, and he didn't have one convert. They weren't interested. They weren't paying attention to the signs. In Lot's day, they had all kinds of warnings. When Judah was taken into Babylon, into judgment, I mean, they were warned for over a century. Repent, turn, stop, quit worshiping idols, get out of this. And they refused. And they didn't listen. And they mocked the prophets and beat the prophets and imprisoned the prophets and killed the prophets. But one day the judgment came. Our God will bring judgment. You cannot have a nation and you cannot have a world that slaughters babies. Listen, I know I didn't come here to preach about abortion, but I'm telling you, I read the Bible. And when I read my Bible, you take Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, go into the minor prophets, any of them, and all of them talk about shedding innocent blood. So you can't have a nation like America who it has been revealed, it has been put out in front of all of us, that not only do they murder children in the womb, but they murder them out of the womb and then sell baby parts. You can't have that and have God to say, oh, well, I love them. No, no. The blood of those little babies is crying out to God from the ground. You can't have rampant perversion like America has sanctioned and not have God say, there's going to be a day when your cup of iniquity is full. And the time will come when judgment's released. And what we're reading, this study in the book of Revelation, is just God saying the cup is full. There's nothing more that can be done. It's time to judge. And so I want you to know that when God brings judgment, it's always right. Yes. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Genesis 18:25. Peter informs us that during Jesus' many persecutions and abuses at the hands of men, listen to what Peter wrote. He, quote, Jesus never answered back when insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. 1 Peter 2:23. The psalmist David writes in Psalms 19, verse 9, the judgments, hear that? Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous totally, altogether. So when God judges, it's always right, no matter what we think about it. We're fallen, skewed beings. Listen, when God judges, he only does what is right. So let's look at Revelation 6:1. Here's where the judgments begin to roll. As I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals on the scroll. And then I heard one of the four living beings say with a voice like thunder, come. Now, what is that living being? Remember those four living creatures? The lion, the ox, the face of a man, and the eagle. All right, now the first one with the face of a lion has just cried out, "Come." Well, what's he talking to? He's talking to a horse and a rider. And John looks and he says, it says in verse 2, "I looked up and I saw a white horse standing there. Its rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles," and look what it says, "gain victory." Now, most scholars believe, and I think it's very clear, this is the Antichrist. He will have authority depicted by the crown, but he will conquer as the good guy depicted by the white horse. Roman generals, for instance, rode white horses depicting themselves as conquering heroes, and Antichrist will present the same way. He will come as a man with an answer, a problem solver, a miracle worker. He will broker the first Middle East peace treaty that every president, for umpteen presidents now, has tried to bring about. Antichrist will do it. And the world will herald him as a military, political, financial genius. He'll look like the good guy. And a world that has rejected Christ and is walking in delusion, has believed lie after lie up to this point, will embrace him like the Savior. British historian Arnold Toynbee wrote, "By forcing on mankind more and more lethal weapons and at the same time making the whole world more and more interdependent economically, technology has brought mankind to such a degree of stress that we are ripe for deifying any new Caesar that might succeed in giving the world unity and peace." And that's exactly what he'll do. And the world will say, "Hallelujah, come on, even if I have to give up my freedoms, come on, help us, save us, rescue us." The rider of the white horse represents the arrival of the man who will become for a brief time the world's conquering hero and ruling Caesar. He's called the Antichrist, the lawless one, the man of sin, the son of perdition. He'll look noble, he'll look righteous, he'll look gallant. He'll rise quickly, according to Daniel, to a place of prominence and will be hailed a problem-solving genius for brokering that Middle East peace treaty. And could we not say that right now, as we sit here tonight, the problem area of the entire world is the Middle East. And Israel, that little spot of land, the size, I don't even think it's as big as New Jersey, but the whole world is focused on it because of the endless conflict that it's causing, that is affecting the whole world. And he will rise quickly, he will broker a peace treaty, and he will be hailed the one. But he's the devil in disguise. No man in the history of the world will ever have been more demon-possessed than this man. He's not literally the spawn of Satan like Rosemary's Baby. There's not an immaculate conception in an evil sense. But from early on, he's demonized, he's influenced by evil, and when he comes into his time, he will become possessed like none other that we've ever seen. He'll make Hitler look like Romper Room. Alexander the Great, he'll be possessed. And you won't see it until the first 3.5 years of the tribulation are over. But more on that later. Then next, the second creature, with the face of a calf or the ox, cries out. And look what he says. "After the Lamb breaks the second seal, the second living creature with the attributes of a calf cries out, 'Come!'" So he's speaking to another horse and another rider. And the horse appears, and it's a red horse. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority, look what he's given authority to do, take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24 and Luke 19? Jesus said, they said, "Lord, what will be the sign of your coming?" He said, "There will be wars and rumors of wars and pestilences and earthquakes in many different places, pandemonium, signs in the sky, cosmic chaos." Well, here John is being told by Jesus in this revelation some of the very same things. War. The red horse that follows the white horse testifies to the fact that Antichrist's peace is only temporary. Because if this is the Antichrist on the white horse, what are we looking at war for? Because his peace only lasts 3.5 years. For the red horse is the horse of war. During the 20th century, two major world wars engulfed the globe. They were unbelievable, horrible, beyond imagining. Dozens of nations involved. Millions of people lost their life. But listen, church, midway through the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years in, the world's going to be plunged into a conflict without parallel. It'll make World War I and II look like warm-up. With the release of this horse, the greatest war in the history of mankind will take place. We've all heard the name, the Battle of Armageddon. It'll take place in the Valley of Megiddo. It was Napoleon that looked out over the Valley of Megiddo and said the world could fight here, not knowing the world would fight there. If that war wasn't stopped by the return of Jesus Christ, no flesh should be left alive. Jesus warned in Matthew 24, "For then there will be great tribulation, affliction, distress, and oppression, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be again. And if those days had not been shortened, no human being would endure and survive." Not one human would survive on the planet if Jesus didn't stop this war. It's his second coming that stops this war. I can't wait to get to that point in this book. Because when he comes, oh my, every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him. And all the tribes and ethnicities of the world will mourn because of him. And I'm going to love it when we get to see him grab the devil by the nape of the neck and cast him into hell. Because that's what he's going to do. Seriously, that's what he's going to do. Then John observes the third living being with the face of a man. He steps up. Verse 5, when the Lamb broke the third seal, can you imagine Jesus? Well, there's seal one, the white horse. Oh, and there went the red horse. He breaks the third seal, and here comes another one now. The living being with the face of a man says, "Come." And when the Lamb breaks that seal, I heard the living being say, "Come," and I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, "A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay." You imagine going into Kroger and you go pay for a loaf of Mrs. Barrett's bread, which you worked a whole day for? A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay, and don't waste the oil and the wine. Well, what does that mean? Let me explain. The black horse represents famine. Clearly, massive inflation is suggested in this verse if you have to work an entire day to buy a loaf of bread. That's inflation on steroids. John also mentions oil and wine, which are luxuries, not necessities. Oil would represent toiletries, beauty aids, body conditioners. In other words, things you don't have to have, things you just want. The wine corresponds to the liquor that's going to be in abundance. It's possible, and I think it's almost probable, he's describing the total breakdown of a middle class. There will be few rich, with the vast majority stricken with famine. Middle class disappeared. Even now, more than a billion people, billion, not million, are on the brink of starvation worldwide. The reality is that out of 180 or so nations around the world, only four, U.S., Canada, France, and Argentina, adequately feed their populace out of 180. I've been to Haiti. I've been to India. When these little children with bloated bellies come up to you, if you give them a piece of candy, you're God. Starving little children. They have nothing to eat. Jesus said there will be famines in many places, earthquakes in many places, increasingly so. But after such a horrific war, the red horse, famine will be even worse. So look at the dominoes here. Antichrist comes and he supposedly brings peace. But after 3.5 years, he breaks that peace, and war breaks out, a horrible war. And following that war, famine on a massive scale because of the destruction of that war. Then finally, here comes the fourth seal, broken, and the fourth living creature with the face of an eagle cries out. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, "Come," to another horse and rider. And I looked up and I saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was the grave. Just made me think of a death metal album cover. These two were given authority over 1/4, I'm going to say it again, 1/4 of the earth to kill with the sword, famine, disease, and wild animals. The fourth horseman is called Death, rides a pale horse. The Greek phrase or word is hippos chloros, means pale green. We get the word cholera from hippos chloros. The pale horse is plague. It's plague. John is witnessing a stunning, sobering catastrophe. When this fourth horse rides, 1/4 of the earth's population will be wiped out in quick succession. How's it going to happen? With the sword, war, with hunger, famine, with death, pestilence, and with the beasts of the earth. The beasts of the earth just come along to clean up what all these things have killed. I told you this was grim. But can I give you a good word? Jesus wins in the end. And remember, he always does right. Okay? Now, a perspective. The worst plague in history was the Black Plague. If you ever read about that, and I've read several books about it, it was just an amazing time in Europe, medieval Europe. It killed 1/4 of Europe in the 14th century. Over 25 million died, but you know what? 2/3 of the infected lived. Just think if it had been a 100% killer of every person. But out of all that were infected, 25 million died, but 2/3 of the infected still lived. It stopped around after a century. So 100 years of the Black Death. Now, John predicts that a plague will come that's going to wipe out 1/4 of not just Europe, but the entire world. It's possible that the pestilence will take the form of germ or biological warfare. That could be. It could even be nuclear. That could be. We don't know. We only know that it does indeed take place, and it's coming. This is why we preach the gospel every time we're up here. This is why we call people to Christ. This is why we're taking the gospel to the nation, and we want to go to the whole world. Because, folks, the time to get saved is now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Because for those who continue on and reject God's Son and God's answer, there is a serious judgment coming. All in all, during the release of these dreaded horsemen of the apocalypse, one out of every four human beings is going to die. One out of four will die. Now let me summarize, and we're done. Thus far, John has painted a chilling portrait of the closing of civilization. Keep in mind again, church, that these events are falling on a Christ-rejecting, godless, and unrepentant world. You know what has amazed me studying Revelation? Several times, not just once, but several times, in the midst of these terrible judgments, it shows the population of earth shaking its fist at God and blaspheming him instead of repenting. So you see that, and we're going to read it with our own eyes. You see that, and you go, God is just to judge. Because they know that it's God doing these things, and they still shake their fist and blaspheme God. So their level of hard-heartedness and iniquity is really difficult to fathom. But thank God there's still time to respond to his amazing grace. And I'll tell you what, we're going to shine like a spotlight into this world as long as God gives us strength.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener-supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled Cosmic Chaos. In this series called The End, Revelation Unfolds. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.